Hello, this is Andrew Burton, Vice President of Consumer and SMB Products at LogMeIn. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that each year in the U.S., on average, more than 200,000 people are hospitalized from flu complications. With the spread of the H1N1 flu virus, it is predicted those numbers will increase significantly this year. And of course, it's not just the flu that poses workforce continuity and productivity challenges. Anything from snowstorms to road construction can cause major disruptions for businesses of all sizes. Today, we are joined by Forrester Principal Analyst Stephanie Ballouris to discuss the issue of workforce continuity and some steps that businesses can take to get prepared in the event of a flu outbreak or similar disruption. Stephanie is a leading expert in how companies can build resilient IT infrastructure to support key business initiatives, such as high availability, next-generation backup and disaster recovery, including business and workforce continuity. Stephanie, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Andrew. It's great to be here today.
Stephanie, in early September, we polled about 400 U.S.-based business professionals to find out how many had business continuity plans in place. We found that 68% said that either no business continuity plan existed or they didn't know of one. Do those numbers surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me. When it comes to business continuity planning, it requires specialized expertise. So the knowledge of planning life cycles from a business impact analysis to a risk assessment to developing the strategy to documenting those plans to testing those plans, you really need to have a lot of core expertise. In many cases, individuals go out and seek certifications. Some people hire consultants. The next thing is you really need support from your senior management. And that support is critical because down the road, you might require funding. It might actually require dedicated individuals who are put on this project for a short period of time. And I think the other important thing why you need senior management support is it requires a lot of collaboration. So you need to be working not only with IT, but, you know, core business owners of your different business processes. You need to be working with HR, with facilities. So it's really a collaborative effort.
Do you think small or medium-sized businesses are generally less prepared than their larger counterparts?
I think they are. I mean, you know, as I talked about, for even large enterprises, it requires specialized expertise. So when you think about a small and mid-sized business, they might not have staff that they could dedicate to this effort. Even, you know, within IT, they generally don't have a huge number of dedicated IT staff. They have one or two individuals that are responsible for managing IT. You know, similar with like facilities, with finance, with HR, you know, they don't have huge numbers of people that they can just take out of their general day-to-day responsibilities and put on a project like this. You know, I also think it's the investment. I also think in some cases, you know, with large enterprises, they do it because they have to, because there's external influences like regulatory compliance that compel them to put plans in place. When it comes for small, medium-sized businesses that are, you know, private, might not be affected by compliance, it's really about them kind of acknowledging the impact that cost of downtime would have on their revenue, their reputation, might even force them out of business in general. So they have to take the initiatives themselves to really put these plans in place.
Do you see any specific IT impediments to putting these plans in place?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about business continuity encompasses people, process, and technology. Technology plays a big role in business continuity. It supports business continuity. For small, medium businesses, again, they probably have limited IT staff. You know, when I think of typical small, medium business, I think of them having one to two individuals, you know, no more than five individuals, and they're managing everything, you know, from clients to servers to storage to networks to, you know, relationships with third parties, you know, backup. So IT disaster recovery is another responsibility that they're going to have to take on. So, but I think, you know, while there are some challenges, you know, with staffing and expertise. I think there have been a lot of changes in technology and in services that make disaster recovery preparedness and, in turn, business continuity preparedness a lot more available to the general SMB.
And are there, I guess, when you look across all those different elements, are there some top strategies that you see emerging within these different groups, you know, maybe some commonalities across them?
You know, when I think about workforce continuity strategies, you think about different types of remote access procedures, whether that's people working from home with laptops over a secure network, whether that's people investing in remote desktop solutions and other ways that they could either virtualize the desktop or virtualize the application. So there's this whole category of different ways that people can be very productive either working from home or working from any location as long as they can get internet access. There's still some of the traditional approaches. There's approaches such as, you know, having an alternate site. So you actually have an alternate site, whether that's an internal site or whether you go to some sort of service provider, and there's actually a physical seat there. I think the challenge with that approach for small, medium businesses is that, you know, many SMBs don't really have an alternate site. You know, they have one location that they work from, and they certainly can't invest in an alternate site and physical seats at that site. You know, it's just going to be way too expensive to try to maintain that site. And the other interesting aspect is, and it's been brought to light by a pandemic, is that type of solution really isn't effective in the pandemic threat scenario. Because whether you're talking about a full-blown pandemic like we're seeing today with H1N1 or the avian flu of sort of the 2005 year, is there could be travel restrictions in place, travel bans. There might be occasions when people actually are sick and they're going to need to work from home. They have a family member who's sick and they might need to work from home. So when people can't travel to the corporate facility, having an alternate physical site isn't as effective. So that's really where the different types of remote access technologies come in. And that's where I see most of the investment at an enterprise level. And I think also for small, medium businesses, that's where you really need to focus when it comes to workforce recovery strategies.
So is it fair to say then, in thinking about your comments about 2005 to the current day, whether you see these trends starting to change around people taking business continuity more seriously and being more proactive?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, so you think about, you know, there's avian flu, there was SARS. And actually, interestingly, if you look at the history of pandemics, they're actually more frequent than people would imagine. There's, you know, pandemics in 1968. There was a pandemic in 1957. There was one in 1918. So they flare up repeatedly. And I think given how much more interconnected our world is today, I think the frequency will only increase. So, you know, avian flu, then sort of H1N1, it's really forced people to take a step back and look at business continuity preparedness. But not only has it forced them to do that, it's also forced them to look at the human side of business continuity. Because I think a lot of the companies who did have business continuity in place, if you were to take a closer look at those plans themselves, you know, I would bet a lot of money that those plans actually focused on IT recovery. They focused on recovery of the data center, recovery of the computer room from a catastrophic disaster like a hurricane or a tornado or fire or flood. They weren't specific to a pandemic. Pandemic requires specialized planning. So you have to have developed a plan that specifically addresses the pandemic. Again, because your computer room, your data center is going to be fine. That hasn't affected it. It's affected people. So the issues you have to think about in your plan itself is, and it's a hierarchy of needs. I mean, first and foremost, you always put employee health and safety first, you know, making sure that your employees you're safe wherever they are. The second is you have to think about, okay, how do I reconnect them back to their data and to their applications? How do I reconnect them back to their communications and their collaboration technologies? You know, what is it that I need to give them at home or whatever location that they might be at to be fully productive again?
So it sounds like taking a broader, more holistic view is really what's required going forward when you're thinking about business continuity and some of these preparedness measures.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just, you know, I guess for our last question, for somebody who might be listening to our podcast, are there any specific recommendations that you would encourage somebody to go off and think about as terms of next steps?
Whether you're talking about a pandemic, a winter storm, could be a transit strike. Think about the different types of threat scenarios that affect people more than IT. I think one of the challenges with business continuity and disaster recovery planning is people always focus on these catastrophic events like hurricanes and tornadoes. And really, the most common causes of downtime actually tend to be those more mundane events. You know, the winter storm that's severe but isn't catastrophic. The transit strike, the power outage, you know, in this case, it's the pandemic. And when it comes to pandemic, like if you look at the history of pandemics, like Forrester's been telling clients, it's not a matter of if, but when another one occurs. So there's a sort of whole category of risks that affect people a lot more than it does the actual IT infrastructure itself. So I guess step one is sort of change your mindset about what business continuity planning actually covers. The second thing is specifically when it comes to this people aspect, think about some of the non-IT aspects. Like think about how corporate policies around work from home and sick leave might change. Think about succession planning. Think about cross-training people in different job functions. The other interesting thing about planning for a pandemic or another people issue is it actually requires multiple levels of response. There's certain steps that you have to take when you only have 5% absenteeism. There's more steps that you need to take when you have 10% absenteeism, 15%, 30% absenteeism, et cetera. And as we've seen with H1N1, you know, you could actually have the number of infections actually decrease, you know, as we saw over the summer, and then suddenly surge as it is now when everybody's coming back to school. A lot more people are going back to work after taking the summer off, et cetera. So, you know, again, it's something that might actually decrease and then suddenly flare up again. And then I do think there is a big technology aspect of it. So, you know, even though you're not planning for the recovery of a computer room or a data center, you know, IT still plays a big role in pandemic planning. It plays a big role in potentially communication. So how do you ensure delivery of messages to all of your employees, getting their updated contact information? And then the second thing is that whole productivity issue. How are you going to make them productive at home? You know, how are you going to make sure that they have access to their data, to their applications, even to collaboration technology from like IM to video conferencing to teleconferencing? So, you know, not just being able to work at home, but being able to be fully productive and working with your colleagues at home.
Excellent. Excellent. Stephanie, I'd like to thank you again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
For our listeners who would like to take some steps on the technology front, please visit logmein.com and you can get started today with a free trial and check out how remote access can help you and your organization. I'm Andrew Burton, and from all of us at LogMeIn, I'd like to thank you for joining us.